All right. What's up, guys? This is The Organic Guy. Welcome to The Organic Guy Podcast. Of course, this is a weekly segment in the name of Organic View. This is where I get to go through some of the amazing topics, some of the amazing news that comes of the organic movement. And this week, we get even better and bigger news. And that is the fact that Uganda officially launched its organic policy and implementation plan. This is old news, sort of. It happened last year in October, but I guess due to the corona stuff going on, this news wasn't actually talked a lot about. So for this particular week, Organic View, I'm going to go through it and see what does it actually mean. What does it mean for an organic policy to be enacted by government? What does it mean that we have an organic implementation plan? What does it add to the already existing organic movement? So we're going to go through it, and then by the end of it, we are going to get out of it, of course, with some interesting observation and interesting points that we can be able to learn moving forward. And of course, we do know a lot of countries also working very, very hard to ensure that they have their own organic policy, sort of, so they can look at this particular kind of developments that have already happened and try to pick up the points that they can learn and then sort of tuck them in their own organic policy draft so that they can move their efforts of trying to get a national organic policy going. In Kenya, of course, we have been in this journey of trying to get an organic policy being enacted by our government since the late 2008, I guess. And so far, we haven't been successful, but we have made a lot of progress. We are making a lot of headlines as well. So I'm very, very optimistic about it. And yeah, it's only just a matter of time, all right? If you look at where the organic movement has come from, the 1940s, when the pioneers of the organic movement were really looked at as hippies, all right? What are these guys talking about? What are these guys talking about? What do they mean that we need to take care of the soil, okay? So soil chemists, but at that particular time, they're looking at organic pioneers, the Albert Ords in Britain, Rudolf Steiner in Germany, J.I. Rodal in the United States, talking about, hey, there's this thing called the soil. We need to take care of it. We need to see it as a biological thing, but not as dirt, right? And they were being ridiculed, really. They were like, what are you guys talking about? All we need to do is to provide the soil with the macronutrients for them to be able to help us grow plants. That's all we need. If we can be able to grow more plants, then that means we'll have more organic matter, and then this organic matter can move into the soil. So the organic movement has come from far, far. And when you look at this particular point where we are now, where we have up to 180 governments recognizing organic in one way or another, organic happening in over 180 countries, that is not a small feat, and having over 70 countries already enacted some form of organic policy in their national government, that is great, great achievement. If you don't want to believe in that particular end, just look at other organic farming initiatives that have been taken through government. It's a hell harder to do that. Look at the climate movement. Has been fighting very, very hard. A lot of money being poured into governments to try and provoke government action towards climate. Hasn't been successful so far. So governments, over 70 governments coming forward and, you know, trying to express, trying to recognize, yes, there's this thing called the organic movement and we need to work with it, is great, great achievement moving forward. Yeah, and the future really for the organic movement looks very, very bright. So today's article comes from the Daily Monitor in Uganda, and it says government launches national organic agriculture policy and implementation plan. The story is written by Yves Muganga, And it reads, the government through the Ministry of Agriculture, Animal Industry and Fisheries has launched the National Agriculture Policy, an implementation plan aimed at harnessing Uganda's agricultural potential by ensuring well-regulated and coordinated subsector that contributes to national development. While launching the policy at the ministry head of Sinentebe this week, the agriculture minister, Mr. Vincent Sembija, said the Ugandan agriculture is generally described as organic by default. Another word that gets thrown a lot within the organic movement, especially for countries in Africa, where, you know, most people tend to say, yeah, if you walk around, most farms are probably organic by default. Not necessarily true. There are, of course, some very many aspects that intertwine between the organic movement and most of the agriculture that happens in the continent. But it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, once you are not really using chemicals, then you are sort of an organic farmer. That is not necessarily true. There is a lot of things that goes into being an organic farmer than not just using chemicals, right? But, you know, those are some of the expressions that you just let them slide. And so that when you're having a serious argument, you can sort of make your point. But for now, we'll just take it the way it is, right? Majority of farmers still rely on nature. Yeah, true. And chance to produce crops with lowest inorganic fertilizer application. This policy is aimed at helping farmers address the challenges affecting the organic subsector, he said. The ministry noted that slow growth of organic agriculture systems is largely attributed to lack of coordinated efforts and regulated frameworks to guide and control the production system. Traditional practice can no longer cope with the fast emerging market demanding for quality, safe, and fiber. Today, the market is looking for agricultural products that meet specific attributes, including sustainability, traceability, and transparency. All those subsectors really encapsulated within the organic movement. Therefore, there's need to promote and support organic agriculture in Uganda. He further noted that Uganda is one of the biggest producers of organic products in Africa. The latest report of the state of world of organic agriculture by Ifomon Feeble sort of backs that statistic up. And he noted that Uganda has the highest number of certified organic producers in Africa, with over 200,000 of them, and is only second to India worldwide, to over 800,000 producers of organic products. Mr. Sembicha stated that in Uganda, for organic producers to exploit the full benefits of organic farming, a number of challenges need to be addressed, which includes lack of registration and organic production standards by, like, the East Africa Organic Product Standards, local research on organic agriculture, low investment in organic production, value addition, and market access. Organic agriculture is one of the fastest growing agriculture subsector in the world. There are about 2.9 million organic producers around the world. Right now we are at 3.1 million producers around the world, according to the latest The World of Organic Agriculture by IFOM and Feeble. The global organic market has exceeded 80 billion euros. Right now we are at 106 billion euros as of 2019, with the highest demand concentrated in the United States, France, Germany, China, and Canada. Professor Sekwa, the chairman of Central Organic Products Organic Africa Initiative, said this will help farmers to comply with most of the international standard of being guiding international markets. We therefore take the launch very important and to be very useful to furthering the growth of organic sector, such as that the organic agriculture farmers benefit from it. We very well know that there is 80 billion value for organic agriculture exists in the global market, and Uganda is benefiting from this at a very low scale. Now, we would like to be guided by this policy to be able to tap much more from the market value of organic agriculture, he said. Well, you know, from just this particular article, you can see this a certain trend. There is something that the government is trying to say here. And there's something that the promoters of this particular policy really are putting an eye on a lot. And when I read through this particular article, they really did mention about the market of the organic movement to talk about this policy helping farmers to comply with most of the international standards of the organic movement that are already out there. Very important. They mentioned about the organic market being at 80 billion euros. All right. Very important factor also when you are trying to implement a particular policy, for example. All right. So from that article alone, without not even sitting through that particular policy implementations, you could see that the government and the people who were involved with the policy, they were very much interested in trying to see how they can create value, how they can be involved in the organic market. Is there something here, if we were to implement this particular policy, that can be able to benefit our farmers, that can be able to benefit our economy? And I think something that a lot of people don't put an eye on what the organic movement brings into the table in terms of providing value, in terms of ensuring that people can create wealth from the organic movement. It's very, very exciting developments that we are seeing. We're just moving away from not just saying, of course, organic is healthier, from just saying that organic is better for the environment, to saying, yes, if you're involved in the organic sector, there is money to be made. Not just money to be made, but you can be able to create wealth from your involvement in the organic sector. Very, very important point. Let's just go through the policy itself. It's one of those things that a lot of us don't get a chance to go through it. And I understand it. Most people don't read this particular policies. It's about 50 pages. So I'm just going to go through it roughly and try to see what are the main points. What are some of the things that they looked at? Okay, what are the consistent stuff that are being mentioned more in this particular policy that future countries who are looking to implement an organic policy can be able to pick from this particular policy, all right? So we can see here they start from the organic, from the policy itself by mentioning that agriculture being the primary sector that serves the livelihoods, serves as the main source of livelihood in Uganda, whereby up to 66% of the Ugandan population are involved in the agricultural sector in one way or the other. And secondly, they immediately read what the agricultural sector contributes to the economy. They come down and try to show us, yes, what will be the benefit of having this particular policy? What will us as a government investing into organic, what will it be able to produce to it? What will we be able to get in return of us investing this particular money? They mention, of course, about better farm income. Very, very important point that I also want you to see here. All right. You could see from the article we read, there was a lot to talk about the organic market. And from the policy itself, when they're trying to lay down what will the government get from them implementing this particular policy, guess what is the first point is? They are talking about better farm incomes. Very, very important. They don't start with health, all right? Although we know organic contributes that a lot. They don't start with the environment, although of course we know organic has a lot of things to contribute to that, but they start about better farm income, which is a very, very important point. When you're involved in the organic sector and you have the laws and you have and you play according to the rules of the game, that means you can be part of the 100 billion industry. Okay, you can be part of eating that particular pie of the 100 billion industry, which is very, very important. That means the more farmers get involved, the better and more pie they can be able to eat from that particular pie of over 100 billion US dollars. All right, so it's a very, very interesting point there. They start with better farm incomes. Second, they go to improving the health of the farmers. We do know the effects that the conventional sector applying the conventional inputs has to farmers themselves. So by them getting involved in the organic sector, the health of farmers improves. Very important, they start with the health of farmers will improve, and then they go to consumers and then go to general public. Very important framing of this particular policy as well. And then thirdly, they talk about disaster and risk reduction, and this is about how they can better cope with disasters and how they can better cope with the challenge of climate change. And then the next point here is they tried to lay out the problem statement, okay? What are some of the challenges that right now, when we don't have this particular policy, what is going on? What are our farmers facing from this particular situation we are experiencing at the moment? They mention about farmers. And again, the first thing that they talk about is standards of safety and quality set by both domestic and export lucrative niche markets. Okay, the first thing, the first problem statement that they look into is that our farmers are not accessing the lucrative and niche markets. Very important. We are seeing a trend here, ladies and gentlemen. Can you see that trend? And then second, they talk about seeds. They talk about inputs that farmers at this particular moment, farmers are not accessing to relevant inputs that they can use to produce their crops. So they're talking about organic seeds, planting materials, herbicides provided by the states are becoming very scarce. Farmers are not able to access it. They're talking again about agricultural extension services. We don't have a lot of people who are trying to help farmers who want to convert to organic, giving them advice on what to do. We all know I went through, I did my bachelor's in agriculture. In class, we never really talked about how we can help farmers who want to become organic farmers. In fact, the knowledge of organic farmers is not even taught in high education. Okay, what we are being taught is what are the amount of fertilizers we can use, what kind of herbicides are best in the market. And organic is nowhere near being mentioned. So this is also a challenge to talk about the challenge of availability, of quality of data and information for planning, invention in the organic agriculture, very important. We do know as we're moving forward how important data is going to be if we are going to talk about creating wealth for farmers. We have to be able to track and know, hey, how much of this produce does the consumer want? For example, how much of fresh produce does the consumer want? How much of packaged products does the consumer want? What are the best ways we can grow these particular products that are in demand by consumers so that we can be able to leverage and have more of this particular market? Okay, very, very interesting. So we've seen three important factors. And the first thing that they move into to look and try to see how they can promote it is the market. And then the next part that I thought interesting about this particular policy is when they're talking about the legal frameworks. Of course, they throw in the constitution. So, for example, the objective of the 22nd subsection A and C of their 1995 constitution states that the state shall take appropriate steps to encourage people to grow and store adequate food, encourage and promote proper nutrition through mass education and appropriate means in order to build a healthy state. Well, guess what are some of the best ways that we can be able to do that? Of course, it's through organic agriculture as well. And then they throw in some of the national policy frameworks that are already in place. For example, they do have Vision 2040, which prioritizes agriculture, one of the six key sectors that propel Uganda from dominantly peasant and low-income country to a competitive and upper-middle-income country by 2040. Well, are we seeing the trend here? Guess what they are talking about? Predominantly transforming them from peasant to low and low-income country to a competitive and upper-middle-income country by 2040. Again, we are seeing here trying to promote organic as a form of poverty alleviation. All right, we do know majority of the people who are involved in agriculture in the first place are from the rural areas. And then here we are throwing in the fact that how can the organic sector contribute to our Vision 2040 that they have mentioned? And one way is through improving and making sure that we move away from the peasant situation to a more low or more upper middle class country. They throw in there about the national development plans, which identified agriculture as one of the key product sectors of the Uganda economy. They do say how organic agriculture will be able to contribute to that. They have the agriculture sector strategic plan, which articulates priorities and investment in sector that will spur growth. Clearly, they do see organic agriculture being one of those sectors that will be able to spur growth in the both the local market and the export market. Very important, focusing on market again. Rural development strategy, where they are emphasizing on increasing production and productivity of selected commodities, adding value to value products, and ensuring a stable market for agricultural products. Here again, they throw in organic agriculture, how it can enable this and help the rural areas become more productive, and hence ensure what? That they're moving away from that peasant community to a middle class country. And then they go on to international statutes that already exist, that they can be able to leverage this international statutes that actually recognize organic agriculture as one of the key sectors that can be in helped to steer both member states into prosperity. They talk about the UN sustainable goals and how organic agriculture links to that. They talk about the Convention on Biological Diversity, the role that organic agriculture actually plays on that, about advocating for safeguarding the biodiversity of the world's main habitat types. We're talking about forest agricultural lands. We're talking about coastal areas, inland waters, mountainous islands. These are all things that organic agriculture identifies with. Next, they talk about the Kyoto Protocol on climate change. We all do know the famous 1997 Kyoto Protocol of the United Nations, which obligates member states to promote sustainable form of agriculture and adoption of organic science as a part of a broader effort to combat the diverse effects of climate change. Okay, they talk about the International Treaty of Plant Genetic Resources, about advocating for member states to develop and maintain appropriate policy and legal framework that promote sustainable and plant genetic resources for food and agriculture. Organic agriculture is at the base of this, is at the bottom, okay, is at the anchor of all this, of enabling member states to preserve their own genetic resources. Of course, we do know GMO, how GMO plays into it. And they mention about the agreement of trade relates. They mention about FAO and WHO Codex Alimentos of Commission guidance on organic products. So they mention how internationally organic is part of a broader coalition of sustainable movements as well. Very, very strategic again on how the organic sector clearly plays a very, very big role as well. So, and then after that, they go into now talking, what are some of the policy strategic directions, okay, that they are moving towards to, okay? So they talk about the targets of the policy now being to increase the annual growth rate of organic production by more than 3% and to spur the overall agriculture growth to 6%. They talk about increasing productivity by 50%, reducing the degradation of ecosystems by increasing investment in organic agriculture. They talk about increasing in the contribution of agriculture subsector to the GDP to reach over 50% of overall agriculture GDP projection into the economy. Ambitious reduction of the proportion of organic agriculture dependent people living below the absolute poverty line. Huh. Look again what we are talking about, to less than 27%, very specific targets here. Increase in public investment in organic agriculture subsector and overall agriculture sector to 10% of the total annual budget. Reform and streamlining extension services and policy and legal frameworks, ensuring conservation of local seed and planting materials. These are very, very attainable goals, very clear goals as well that can be tracked. And yeah, you know, someone can come back, hey, you mentioned about these particular goals, how are they doing, what's going on here, can you talk to us What are some of the things you have been able to achieve so far? So very, very strategic, very smart from them as well. Very compelling. If I'm part of, the policymakers and I'm seeing the specific numbers, I will want to sit down and listen and see what these guys are talking about. And then next, they talk about priority areas. If this policy is actually implemented and put into place, what are the areas that they're going to concentrate on, right? They talk about enhancing research, technology development, and dissemination. And then secondly, they're talking about enhancing organic agriculture production and technology support. This is one of areas that most people don't put a lot of effort into. And they don't realize that right now there's so many ways we can be able to improve the organic sector at the moment. They just see the organic sector the way it is, and they assume this is how things are gonna be, right? That's not right. That's not true. There are a lot of things that need a lot of improvement. So very important to see them. They talk about post-harvest handling, storage, and value addition. Important aspect as well to look at. Talk about standards, certification, and accreditation. This is about how this whole thing can help them to access international markets as well. So how about we quickly talk about the expected outcomes and benefits? So these are some of the areas that, after all things have been done, after this particular policy has been implemented, what are the expected outcomes? What are we likely to see from this particular policy brief? Okay, they talk about increasing food security and income among small-scale holder farmers. Again, we are seeing them emphasizing. It's not a coincidence here. We've gone through some of the important and critical points. We can see the point about how can we improve the status of our organic farmers? How can we help them earn more income? How can we help them create wealth from becoming organic farmers? Very, very important. And they talk about increased environmental protection through promotion of sustainable use of natural resources. They talk about reduced agricultural chemical runoff into local water. Of course, this is very well documented, the fact that organic doesn't use any poison in the farms, let's call it what it is. Increased sociocultural benefits of smallholder farmer groups for information exchange. This is one of the areas that big farmer doesn't want for organic for farmers to exchange ideas and technologies. Very, very social culture benefit point in there. Increased health benefits and life expectancy. Of course, we do know right now how the sperm count, for example, of our male counterparts is very much reducing at alarming states. So how can organic agriculture help promote into that? Very, very well documented. They talk about the economic benefits, environmental benefits, sociocultural benefits, health benefits. So overall, we can see how this particular policy caught the eye of the government, caught the eye of other sectors, of private sectors. Of course, it's not only the government that will be able to implement these particular plans, it's how well the government and the private sector and the farmers can cooperate and work together to make sure this policy actually becomes a success. So for me, I'm very, very excited reading through the policy itself. Sort of makes sense. It's about concentrating how organic agriculture will be able to add value to the economy of the Ugandan people. Okay, very, very strategic point to approach it from. I myself, it's one of those things that I try also to emphasize, the fact that organic agriculture is not only about providing health food products to people, which is a very important thing to do. It's not only good for the health of the planet, but is also a way of making money, and it's also a way of creating wealth. Okay, there's nothing good about being poor. Okay, there's nothing good about going hungry. It's how can we be able to leverage the potential? How can we be able to leverage the ability of the organic sector to create more income for organic farmers, to ensure that our farmers have direct access to their hard-earned money, Okay, and the best way we can do that is through organic farmers. I'm very happy that this particular policy concentrated on that area of the spectrum. And moving forward, I expect to read other more policy briefs from Kenya, for example, from Tanzania, from Ethiopia, and all other countries who are looking forward to having a national organic policy. And seeing how this one has been drafted, has been written, is one of the best ways we can do that moving forward. So very, very optimistic about the state of policy implementation in Africa. And now we have two countries who have an official organic policy. I'm talking about Tunisia and Djibouti for some reason, and then Uganda joining that. And I hope the fourth one is going to be Kenya moving forward. Very, very optimistic about that. So ladies and gentlemen, I hope you learned a thing or two from this particular conversation. If you enjoyed it, of course, make sure that you share with someone you think might be interested in this particular kind of content, and make sure you subscribe, all right? Because there are a lot of conversation that I'm going to bring to you, have a lot of things lined up to you, so make sure you don't miss, make sure you subscribe. Till the next time, ladies and gentlemen, remember to be organic. Cheers.